Lamedvav on the base, Menachos.
We didn't finish.
Lamedvav on the base.
Yeah, for the sake of completion, I'd like to finish just a couple of lines of Gemara here. We're in the midst of a conversation concerning tefillin at night time. What is the reason we cannot wear tefillin at night time? And it's going to depend on certain halachos are plugged into this. If we don't establish the real reason, then we're in trouble as far as that is concerned. And furthermore, we have to understand the role of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because this too is a time concept, a zman concept. If tefillin are worn on Sunday through Friday, why not on Shabbos, that seventh unit of the week, and why not on Yom Tov? What inherent in that time called Shabbos and in that segment of time called Yom Tov is it that doesn't allow us to wear tefillin? Furthermore, once we use the word Yom Tov, we have to already open up, and that's where the thrust of our time, I think, is going to be spent tonight, a Yom Tov concept called Chol HaMoed, which is the situation of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Pesach. Why do we wear tefillin? Why do some say don't wear tefillin? Etc. and so forth. All of this put together will obviously have to impact on something tangential, which I don't think we'll get to tonight. And that is, if we decide that tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, a time-bound mitzvah, then we know, according to the rule, that time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt from. They don't have to do it. Well, they don't have to do it, but may they do it if they want. They don't have to sit in the time-bound mitzvah of sukkah, but may they do it? Whatever the answer is, they don't have to listen to Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah because it is time bound to those days. But may they do it? They don't have to, etc. and so forth, all the way down the line. And the same thing would have to go to tefillin. But if we decide that tefillin is not a time bound mitzvah for whatever reason, then it's a regular mitzvah saseh.
Then they have to do it.
And it would seem as if they have to do it. And if this be the case, why don't they do it? You were saying.
The question is that a sufficient criterion for determining when a woman does a mitzvah? For instance, Kiddush, Friday night, is time bound.
Yes.
She's required, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Matzah, Pesach, is time bound.
Mm-hmm. Required.
Fasting, Yom Kippur.
Good. Not a mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah's losa, say.
Okay.
It's a restrictive mitzvah. It's not a do. It's not an active mitzvah.
Megillah Esther.
Okay, Megillah Esther, yes. All right, now.
Esther
Esther
Rabbani.
You can do anything.
All right.
Rabbani, you can do anything,
huh?
Almost. Rabbani can make a woman chayav.
The question is correct. Now, you honestly think in this series that I have a right to leave out Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama? If we're learning 2 years already the word called Zman, obviously we can do that. Tell me that you want me to do this right away and take all the Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama beginning with the next time that we meet. I'm ready to do that. That's no absolutely no problem whatsoever. If you'd like to do it, that will do.
No, I want you to
But I'm formulating the issue.
Yeah.
Your problem with the issue is entirely correct. We've got to understand what the limitations are and where, if they did expand into it, and they did accept upon themselves to do certain mitzvahs, were there other concomitant factors that pushed them into doing the mitzvah? And indeed there are. There are such factors. The most prevalent factor is Sha'af Hein Hayuba Otohanes. There are certain mitzvahs which are done as a result of certain, you know, spectacular moments in Jewish history that involve the women primarily. Megillas Esther is because of Esther. It ain't Megillas Mordechai. And were Esther not where she was, there may not have been a Purim.
Therefore, women are focused upon as being the pivotal point of the Nes of Purim. Chanukah and its revolution, with all the things that the Hashmonaim did, and with the whole business of the Nes HaShemen, women are required to light because afhein ha-yuga sa-nes, because the ultimate revolution was started by one of the Hashmonaim women, and that was a gal by the name of Yehudis, who went ahead and decapitated Holofernes, who was one of the major chiefs of staff of the Greco-Syrians, giving the men enough guts and gumption to finally stand up and thrust the sword where it had to be thrust, and cast off the yoke of Hellenism. Afhein ha-yubos ha-nes. Pesach and Yitzias Mitzrayim. A Chazal account for that, because bizchus nashim sitkaniyos nigalu Yisrael. Because of the activities of the women in trying to counteract the servitude and the slavery, boom. The Rabbeinu Shalom felt that Bnei Yisrael of that generation deserved to be saved. And Miriam is no less important when it comes to the Geula than Moshe Rabbeinu is. Simple as that. So,
no less important
than when it comes to the Geula. Yeah. Yeah, and only in our chauvinist minds, okay? When we take a look at it in the mind of Kabbalah, we take a look at it in the mind of Chazal, there are three people who lead us to Geula, each one with his and her particular quality. There's Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. It was a triumvir. Okay? Inseparable.
Very little solid information about Miriam in the Chumash.
Well, there isn't as much. It doesn't say Vaydaber Hashem or Miriam Lemar. Okay, but there is sufficient leadership. There's no question about it that it was a subordinate type of leadership. Well, the same thing with Aaron. No question about that. But their presence was unmistakably needed and felt. And I'm not going to let you sell Miriam short. Were it a kind of subsidiary or totally unnecessary thing? What am I calling? We're just dessert. I don't believe the Torah would have put in Shiras Hayom, in Oz Yashir, that Miriam went ahead and took the women, Miriam and Avia, and so on and so forth. Alright? And when this leadership gets into trouble, Aaron and Miriam on one side, criticizing Moshe, the chairman of the Troika, the chairman of the Triumvirate, we have it there. We truly have it there. We know what the results were. When she dies, we make the same tzimis over her death as we make over Aaron and Moshe. Okay? Be that as it may, that's only one factor. There are other factors also. Okay? Especially when it comes to palace and film. There will be other factors. But as I say, if you people want to explore just this, not go in the order, at this point you say, hey, let's focus in on mitzvah sasei shazman gromo, ready. In the Gemara, the first wide line, the Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer. We learned in a brisa that Rabbi Akiva taught, Yachol, I may think, it is possible for me to think improperly and mistakenly that Yaniach Adam Tfilin b'Shabbos Osv Yom Tovim, that a person should put on Tfilin on Shabbos and Yom Tov just as he would during the week. Talmud Lamar, that's, and the mistake cannot be made because we learn in the Pasuk about, in Chumash, we read it in the Shema, V'hayala Osal Yadacha. Tefillin ought to be a sign on your hand, ulatotafos, and a demonstration of some sort, bein einecha, between your eyes. From this pasuk, we are prevented from making that mistake. How do we learn it from the pasuk? Says Rabbi Akiva, misha tzrichim os, those days that need an os, that need some kind of demonstrative sign, are the ones that you put on tefillin. Yatzeu, and this excludes Shabbosos v'yomim tovim, Shabbos and Yom Tov, shehin gufan os, because they themselves, Shabbos and Yom Tov,
have the same intrinsic power of being called an os as some demonstrative sign about what the concept we'll have to see yet that tefillin have, and when you don't need, and when you have one sign already, one os, you don't need a second one, mm-hmm. because the fact that something is an os is a demonstrative sign. Inherently has gufo is kadosh. Inherently has some kind of kedusha, some kind of sanctity. Shabbos we call what? Shabbos kodesh. It is a time of sanctity. Yom Tov is the same thing. It's a zman kadosh. It is a holy time. And tefillin is quite different from yarmulke, let's say, or even tzitzis, because in and of itself there is something there that makes it gufo kodosh, intrinsically holy. Now, what we mean by intrinsically holy, after all is said and done, all right, time is one thing, but tefillin is nothing more than leather and parchment. But the symbol of what the tefillin represents is of the highest priority of kedusha. Simple as that. And that means that you've got to understand, as we spoke in the past, tefillin is nothing more, as mezuzah is, nothing more than a portable Sefer Torah. When you are wearing tefillin, you are doing nothing more than holding a Sefer Torah. It's wrapped.
You can't open it and read it.
I know. I hear what you're saying, but the concept is a portable kind of Sefer Torah. I can prove that.
It's made of the same thing. It's made of the same parchment and Sefer Torahs.
I can prove it several ways. The first way is that you know that the Shema contains buried in it an allusion to the Aseres Adibros, Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are nothing more than 10 chapter headings that categorize all Taryag Mitzvos. You didn't break that chair, sir. It has been broken for about 17 years.
I know, but I want to make sure I don't...
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
I don't
want to
fall off.
Oh, so take another chair.
That's comfortable.
All right. So that is, you know, that has to be understood, this concept called oaths, that in and of itself it demonstrates a certain total picture, a total philosophy. Shabbos has a total message for a human being. Yom Tov has a total message for a human being, and so does Tefillin. Briefly stated, Shabbos Kodesh, the totality of the message is that a human being is the highest element of the Yetzirah of creation, the highest rung in creation, and as a result of that, he has to go ahead and make sure that he is not a consumer of creation all the time. He must preserve creation, and that's when he stops tearing and
On Shabbos, it says, "Beinu v'mnei Yisrael osi le'olam." Shabbos is osi le'olam. I don't think it doesn't say osi le'olam.
That's what you think.
It says it
clearly. We learn it from Pesach. All right, Pesach is called an os. And from there we learn a binyanav to all Moadim, because Pesach is nothing more than the beginning of Shavuos, is nothing more than the reason for Sukkot. Right, right. And because we came out of
it's
Pesach...
Mekish.
Yeah, that's all. So. And because we came out Pesach, you should know, it isn't that we came out in Nisan. The Avoda was Betela in Tishrei, so I got Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't stand at Har Sinai, like a Yaki, and make the Egel HaZohov, I wouldn't have had Yud Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. So it strings right through from Pesach.
One is connected to that.
All one, and that's why we say on all of them, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. On every Yom Tov we say Zecher Letzias. What's Rosh Hashanah Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim? Because 6 months before we left, that's when the servitude ended, the Abdus ended. And Yom Kippur, what's Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim? We're in the desert of Yom Kippur. Not true. Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, Yom Kippur, is because of Shavuos. Because the first Shavuos we count
the Yom. What represents the machloikes or the different and Chol HaMoed? Some do put.
We'll see it in 2 minutes.
It's in there.
We'll see it in 2 minutes.
How much
Kodesh is the day after that, before it's called an Oil.
All right, we'll see it. That's where we're going. Now, so the Oil of Shabbos we understand. Man is the pinnacle of creation, and as such, he's got to care, not consume the world. Yom Tov is the whole relationship of God to Bnei Yisrael. Atav achartonim yikol ha'amim, that is the oath. That is the sign. That's what we demonstrate. Zeicha l'tzias Mitzrayim. Okay? Tefillin, we spoke about last time. Tefillin, the fact is that a human being has his weak moments, his weak streaks. There is no such thing as a perfect human being. It is impossible. All right? I mean, I hate to disillusion you. I knew all of you thought that I was perfect. You understand? There is no such thing. The emperor stands naked. But, you know, if you think also that you're perfect, I'll tell you also that the Rabbani Shalom said you're not so perfect. That's why he gave you a tefillin. He gave you a simple brace, a harness, in the spiritual side of things, that where a human being does become a little weak, he gave you this strap, this harness of being able to bind those, you know, the weak side of you. And there are two weak sides to a human being: his thoughts and his actions. I mean, man's thoughts, because he is logical, can become so distorted when he sees nothing else but himself. And man's actions, in his so-called, represented by his left hand, he's very weak when temptation faces him. There is no such thing as a human being who can overcome who was never born with these temptations. And this oath is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked, that you realize that Torah, which is the 613 mitzvot, are exclusively devoted to be able to shore up man's defenses, inner defenses and antibodies, to be able to live and resist any of these temptations.
What's the oath of Pesach?
Pesach is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, there would be no Jewish people. The birth of our nationhood. Shabbos is the birth of humanity, the birth of the world. Okay? That doesn't mean that there had to be Jews. Pesach, and from Pesach, the whole string of Yom Tov celebrates the birth, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, the birth of our nationhood. Okay?
Yeah.
And Tefillin celebrates the fact that God, in his infinite patience and wisdom, will suffer from an imperfect human being. And that is not his problem, that man is imperfect. You understand? That's not a problem. He asked man to perfect himself. So you need, in the weak muscles, you need a brace. In the weak areas, you need practice, you need therapy. That's the tefillin. He's very pleased, so to speak, when man perfects himself. He feels no guilt about creating creating the human being who is imperfect. Absolutely no guilt. That's the way it was by design. By design, I left you undone, and I want you to finish yourself. All right? Because if you don't do for yourself, then who else should do for you? All right? Let's go to the Shulchan. Let's take Shabbos and lift.
What's the reference in the Shema to the seventh? Is that a long discussion?
Oh, no. There are two schemes. You will find them if you want to know exactly what they are. There are two schemes of counting it. One is the Vilna Gaon, who maintains that the Aseres HaDibros are alluded to right at the very beginning in the first parsha of Shema. Others count it throughout the entire three parshas of Shema. So here we go. Now, as far as looking quickly, just at the Vilna Gaon scheme of where we find the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, buried in the Shema, and as a result of it, when one says the Shema, one is doing nothing more than than stating a summary or a chapter heading. What do they call it? Monarch notes? Reading through the monarch notes of all of the Torah, if I may. You tell a person, look, we know that you cannot learn Torah the entire day. But if twice a day you were to summarize its principles and its substance, how incredible it is that you're able to do such a thing. Why not say the Shema? Well, in the Gemara Menachos, Daf Tzadi Tes, I believe it is, there is a big machlokas over there. Should we tell someone who is uninitiated, the Am Oretz, that look, you can do the equivalent of learning through the whole Torah by just saying Shema? Or shouldn't we tell him that? And the machlokas is clear. With some people, you tell them you can get away the easy way, say the Shema, they'll never open up a Chumash ever again. And with others, it will yet give them the hope to be able to go ahead and continue, as long as they see that it's so easy and so accessible to begin with. All right. Let me find it in mine, and then I'll be with you. Shema Yisrael, says the Vilna Gaon, b'parsha zo, in this one parsha, this one paragraph, nichlelu aseres hadibros. Okay? We have the aseres hadibros.
This is the
Vilna Gaon. Hashem Elokeinu, when you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that is neged, that is the equivalent of the first of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Alright? Because we're using the same words. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokecha, the same words. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first of the commandments to know God and to accept God as an entity. When you say Hashem Echad, God is one, that what should go through your head, God is one, is neged, is the equivalent of the second of the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Yehiyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, you shall have no partners with me. Clear?
Hashem Echad.
Got it? Any problems with that? No. When you say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed, blessed be his name and his glory, the glory of his kingdom shall be Le'olam Ve'ed forever and ever. That is the same thing as saying Neged Lo Tisa, you shall not take my name in vain. What do you do when you take my name in vain? It's useless. It's like a cigarette butt. You take it and you flick it when you have no longer any use for it. And Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso is indicate that godliness has weight in our life. And that is the third commandment.
Shem, Shem, the Shem.
Yep.
Any more Shem?
This is him.
What you mean?
Yeah. Not verbatim, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay? V'lazeh tiknu ala maskir Shem Shemayim levatala sheyamah tekev baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Elam. Now you understand, when you say a bracha that is unnecessary, or you say God's name that is unnecessary, what do you do immediately?
Okay.
To neutralize it? You say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayah, to show that it's not a valueless kind of a thing, the name of God and the concept.
Mm-hmm. So you make a mistake, you say Brocha, you weren't supposed to say the Brocha. You say Baruch Shem Kavod.
V'ahavta, love God, is the equivalent of Zacharis Yom HaShavos L'Kadoshah. Is the equivalent of Shabbos. Shabbos is the pinnacle of love between man and his creator. If Shabbos means anything else to you, you don't begin to know. One does not begin to know what Shabbos is. It is an exercise in love, and that's why the Mekubalim and the mystics came, and what did they do Erev Shabbos? What did they ask us to say? Shir HaShirim. L'Chadovi is the poem of Shir HaShirim, which is nothing more than a love song between the lover and his beloved, Bnei Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?
Uh-huh. It's enough, huh?
Skip a couple of lines. V'hayu ha-devarim ha-eile. These words which I tell you is neged kabedes avicha ve'asimecha. These words which I tell you. Okay? Because a mother and a father says what? You'll do what I say. Why should I do it? Because I'm your mother and I said so. I'm your father and I said so. Now that needs a little explanation, but I think if you look at it carefully, you'll see that it is not contrived. V'shinantam levanecho, teach your children.
teach your children well. He says that's the equivalent of lo tirtzach, you shall not murder. What is a murderer? Not well, someone who comes from a broken home, okay?
Like if somebody teaches a child as if you were the parent, so not teaching them is like taking the life away from the child.
Good. Okay. The way you can kill a child, alright, is by not teaching him, by not giving him guidance. By not giving him the derech, the restriction. That's an interesting one.
Okay.
Anyone who doesn't go ahead and teach a child according to the ways of Torah, in other words, an ethical and moral inclination is ki'ilu ritzacho. It's like you're making him a murderer, because nothing is going to stop him. If a human being doesn't have some kind of conscience and inborn morality that has been taught and acquired, he can do anything and everything. Nothing stops him. V'dibarta bom, talk about them, b'shiftecho b'veisecho, when you're at home, u'belechtecho b'aderech, and when you're away. You are consistent, whether at home or away. Consistency, correct? K'neged lo tin'ov, you shall not commit adultery. Because adultery, by definition, is what? Is the lack of consistency, and the lack of trustworthiness. Just look at the whole world of conventions, professional shows and everything. Where even the best of societies, we know that lo tinof, that adultery, is the mainstay of the show. And then furthermore, next line, ukishartam la'os al yadecha, tie the tefillin as a os, as a sign al yadecha, that's our pasuk, neged lo tignov, don't steal. Alright? Because man's hand is very, very weak. And has to be controlled, has to be braced up. V'hayulatot tafos b'nei necha, and may your eyes, in other words, your mind, have this os of tefillin on them. Neged, that is the equivalent of lo saneh b'reacha eid shoker. You shall not go ahead and testify falsely against your friend, because it is only a human being who can say that if something's black, it's really white, and if something's true, I swear that it's false. Mm-hmm. Only a human being says that. A cat is not capable of doing it. An elephant is not capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. A monkey knows what's white is white and what's black is black, and finished. Only a human thought is capable of distorting, making left right, and what's right is left. Alright, and the next line, Uchsaftam al mezuzos beisecha, write it on the doorposts, write the mezuzos on each one of the doorposts, is Kineged lo sachmod beisreyecha. Remember that you cannot go ahead and covet the house of your friend, which means the wife of your friend, and anything else that your friend has. Alright, so there is your Aseres HaDibros. I have absolutely no problem with seeing it as clear as day. The challenge that we have is to go ahead and see how all the other mitzvahs fit in. Yeah.
What do the words above the Shema mean? I don't know if you're...
Kel Melech Ne'aman.
Which
edition are you in?
Same with these guys.
Let's see. Ah! When you know Kabbalah, okay? When you know Kabbalah, you know, yeah, these.
Oh, this one here.
Yeah. You know, excuse me, you know that we take and we weave various things. One of the elements of Kabbalah is to take the psukim of Chumash and to show how every word, like eight, tree, sadeh, field, which have seemingly no relationship with the spiritual. Every word is nothing more than an extension of some of God's names.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kabbalah there are all kinds of names. There's a name that has 42 letters, and a name that has 72 letters, and so on. And we weave them all. What is the point behind this weaving? To indicate that there is nothing in this world that isn't an extension of the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A stupid little microscopic creature is invested with the Ritzon Hashem, with the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether we understand it or not.
You see, and this is the Kabbalistic weaving of it, which needs a whole scheme to be able to, you know, to have me understand it. It involves sometimes, but not here. It doesn't involve gematrios here. It involves all kinds of transposing of letters, an aleph with a tuf sometimes, mm-hmm. and a beis with a shin, atbash it's called, and so on down the line. Okay? Now, this edition of the Vilna Gaon Siddur is more Kabbalistically inclined. There is another edition, the one that I was reading from, that is a little more tame when it comes to Kabbalah. But let's not lose sight. Now, this is only one scheme. Here, somewhere along the line, instead of using just the first paragraph of Shema V'Ahavta, they weave it in throughout the three paragraphs. Yeah. Yeah. But I prefer, always, I have this prejudice to the Vilna Gaon, and I think his is correct. You know, if it's superimposed twice, okay, no big deal. Let's take a Mishnah Berurah, let's take a look at it. Tfilin and Shabbos and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. Lamed Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Mishnah Berurah. Din tefillin b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov. Lamed Aleph. Doc, did I hear you sneeze yet? Mm-hmm. How come? You're supposed to sneeze about 45 minutes ago.
Now you're stuck.
Okay. This Siman in Shulchan Aruch, this chapter in Shulchan Aruch is Lamed Aleph 31, Din Tfilin B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. What is the story with Shabbos and Yom Tov? Nothing terribly new, because we are only going to summarize, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch wants to do for us, we are only going to summarize that which we already established in the Gemara, and that which we discussed. Halacha Aleph says, B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Asur Lahaniach Tfilin. You are prohibited from putting on tefillin. Why? Mipnei sheheim atzmam os, because Shabbos and tefillin have the intrinsic designation of os. It is some kind of sign, of covenantal sign.
Why not two os?
Whatever. Who?
Why can't you have two?
Oh, wait. We'll explain. No question about it. Mishnah Berurah tells it to you, and no question about it. I see. No. Osos. Osios are letters, by the way. You're right. Ve'im manichim bahem, and why do I need the Mishnah Berurah? The Shulchan Aruch tells it to you right now. Im manichim bahem, if you put on Shabbos and Yom Tov, tefillin, os acher, which is another kind of an os, hayazilzul la'os shelahem. There is a degradation to the os, to the particular message of Shabbos and or Yom Tov. Now, the fact of the matter is that the big question is, why should it be a degradation?
Yeah.
If the way I explained it, that each one has its own realm, that A, Shabbos is to celebrate the creation of man, B, Yom Tov is to celebrate the creation of the nationhood of Israel, okay? And C, tefillin is to celebrate the perfection of humanity. Okay?
You have Yom Tov that falls on a Shabbos.
I hear what you're saying. But remember always that notwithstanding whatever very nice logical reasons I give you, it does not necessarily determine the halacha. The feeling is that when one show goes on, you don't want another one. However, when you cannot help two shows going on, as your case is, Shabbos and Yom Tov, what am I going to do? Cancel one?
Sure.
I can't. Well, sure. But I don't do it that way. That would be helter-skelter. So that your precision computerized logic is without question correct from a logical point of view, but, you know, we deal with human beings, and human beings are beasts of imperfection. But not so with tefillin. Absolutely not so with tefillin. Okay. You know why? I'll tell you why. Tefillin and Shabbos can't go. Because when man was created on Shabbos, Adam, in what state was he created?
He became
pure. Perfect state. And it's only that man went ahead and messed up later. So came the tefillin and... Came the tefillin and said, man, you still have salvation. That's right. It's called tikkun. Tikkun. That's the Kabbalistic concept of tikkun.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
You're a simple person like me. You're brushed like.
Yeah.
You're, during the week, you're involved. You're in your normal your work. You're very based on. You need to fill in to raise your spiritual level. On Shabbos Yontif, you already have Shabbos Yontif to raise your spiritual level.
No.
So you don't need to fill in for that also.
I'm not saying anything different. I'm not at all saying
that's
anything different. Okay. Not so.
We're simple people.
Go ahead. But here we get into Beis. Bechol ha-moed. Gam kein asur lahaniach tefillin. According to the author of the Shulchan Aruch, this is a Sfardi, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the first of the two authors. And chol ha-moed asur lahaniach tefillin. You are not allowed to go ahead and put on tefillin. Mi'atam azeh, for this very reason, ba'atzmo. The same reason, sheyimei chol ha-moed, because the days in between the beginning and the end of Pesach and the beginning and end of Sukkot, gam heim os, they have the same intrinsic os, because Pesach time we eat the matzah, we don't eat chametz, and Sukkot time we sit in the sukkah, we still sit in the sukkah. Okay, hago, the addition of the ramah, the second one, the yesh omrim. Says the Ashkenazi, Rabbi Moshe Isserlich, the Ramah, the Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Shechol HaMoed Chayav B'Tfilin, that Chol HaMoed has to, you have to put on Tfilin on Chol HaMoed, and he gives you his source, the very same Beis Yosef, the same Rabbi Yosef Karo, who quoted fairly enough B'Shem HaRosh, who quoted the Rosh, the Rabbeinu Osher, who said that you have to put it on. Rabbeinu Osher functioned in Ashkenaz.
Why didn't he just quote the Rosh? Why did he quote
it? Because he didn't pass him like the Rosh. You see, there's
no. Why didn't the Ramah quote the Rosh? Why is he kind of quote the Beis Yosef quoting the Rosh?
Oh, that's very important, because he wants to indicate that the Beis Yosef truly does not pass him like the Rosh, and that the Beis Yosef told you in the tour in the Beis Yosef
that
there is a violent machlokas over here, and there are different shitas. Okay,
yeah.
No two ways about it. Okay, Rabbeinu Asher held that you put on tefillin on Yom Tov. We'll soon see why. Says the Ramah, who is writing in Krakow, Chol HaMoed, I'm sorry. Says the Ramah, who is writing in Krakow in the 16th century. The Chein Noagim B'chol Glilos Elu, in this entire district. Glilos, in this entire district. Chein Noagim, this is our minhag. What is it? Lahanichan b'moed, to put them on during Chol HaMoed, ulevarech aleihem, and to make a bracha. Ela she'ein mevarchim aleihem b'kol ram. Except for one thing, our minhag is that when we make the bracha on tefillin and Chol HaMoed, we say it quietly. Normally you want to say a bracha so that someone can answer amen. Normally you say tefillin bracha so you say it out loud so that everyone hears that you're saying it and someone can get in the amen, because we want to recite at least 100 brachas, and whether you say it or answer amen is the equivalent, so here is another one towards the 100 brachas a day. And here we don't do it b'kol ram b'beis haknesses, when we are in shul, k'mo she'ar yemos hashanah, the way our minhag is, 16th century Poland and that whole area, that we say the brachos out loud. Some people till today do the same thing. They'll daven quietly, they'll daven in an undertone. But when it comes to the brachos of tefillin, they'll say it out loud. So
we don't know anymore.
No. This tefillin. All the time. We call yemos hashanah. 6 o'clock in the morning in shul, they'll say it out loud.
Here
you do it quietly. Why? The Ramah says that there are those in shul who will go ahead and say it quietly. Why do you say that other brachas are not said out loud? It, essentially, you're right. You look to say a bracha out loud so that another Jew should be able to go ahead and answer amen all the time. But what he is saying is that with Birchas Tefillin, there are those who are makpid, who are extraordinarily careful.
that this bracha should be said out loud so that others hear.
When I was in Brooklyn, 3 years ago, in Oxford Parkway, the early minyan, the Baal Batim would come very early, also, but each one would take turns saying bracha.
No, that's right. Right, that's correct. I was going to say the same thing.
People can take turns saying, I'm into brachas.
There's somebody would come and say brachas, because of shachar.
Birkas HaShachar. Before we start davening, like 5 or 6,
it's correct.
Baal Batim, he
mean Birkas HaShachar. Birkas HaShachar.
Yeah, that's
what you said. It's a worthy minute. It's a worthy minute. No question about it. Nonetheless, it is recorded clearly when it comes to tefillin that tefillin were a bracha that you would say without question out loud.
But I'm only saying it quietly.
Why is it meaning now that on Kol Moed you put on tefillin without a bracha, which is like neither of these?
Wait for the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? Now, let's go down to the Mishnah Berurah, left hand column. Yom Tov, we say no tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What about the second day of Yom Tov? Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov, which is only outside of Eretz Yisrael, Nami B'Klal, also is included as a non-tefillin day, L'Didon B'nei Chutz La'aretz. Okay? Because it is the equivalent of Yom Tov, and you cannot assume that we are only taught that the second day is not an os. There is an os quality to it also.
We have a problem actually on the last day of Yom Tov. If it's Chol HaMoed, Nochal B'Tzor.
Okay.
What about the second day, less Achel Shel Pesach, let's say? You don't put tefillin, you actually, there's a problem.
You are losing.
You're losing a day.
If the true last day of Yom Tov, Pesach, is not not a real Yom Tov, but because of some inaccuracy over there, we tacked on the day, then if we are to be entirely precise, that last day of Yom Tov, should you not know, alright, Simchas Torah also, yeah, that last day of Yom Tov, you miss the opportunity of what? Of putting on a tefillin. You see, it says no, that is cancelled because we have assumed for that day the kedusha of another os, of a different os altogether. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Beis Asur lahaniach, you're not allowed to put them on. Well, you put on tefillin, but what about doing other things? If you're not allowed to put them on, therefore tefillin are called muktzeh. They are untouchable. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'afil betiltul yesh omrim gam kein de'osur. Okay, you don't have to put it on, but there are some who say that you can't even take and carry them around. All right, you're not going to use them, that's one thing. Those who hold, some who hold that you're not allowed to carry them around, why? Im lo letzorech gufam, unless you actually need them personally, and I'll explain that in a minute, o makomam, or it is sitting in a place where you need the place. There are certain categories of muktzah. There are 6 different categories of muktzah, meaning 6 different reasons why you are not going to touch something. You are not going to touch something. One of them is because in and of itself you cannot use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Here is tefillin. Okay? However, what if the tefillin are laying here on the table and I have to set the table for Yom Tov to eat here? This is called muktzeh machmas makomam. I need the place. But machmas makomam, because I need the place, I can go ahead and then take it and remove the muktzeh. But you don't move muktzeh. But there are certain categories of muktzeh that you can move. Another one, forget about tefillin.
It's about money.
A favorite in my house is telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You talk on the telephone during the day, and let's say Erev Yom Tov, I was drying off from getting into the shower, and people called Erev Yom Tov or Erev Shabbos. And I sat on my bed, which has a telephone nearby with a long cord, and I left it on the bed. Time carried, and I just didn't remember to take the telephone off of the bed. I go to shul, it is definitely Yom Tov, we finish the Seder, I come up at 2:30 in the morning, dead tired, and that telephone is on the bed. The halacha is that letzorech makomam, if I need the place on which the muktzeh is,
then the concept of muktzah is suspended because of the place. So I simply pick up that telephone, look at it in delight or disgust, whatever it is, and put it away. And not all muktzah can you do that. As far as money is concerned, we have to determine what the problem. Why don't we touch money? Okay? The same thing as a hammer. Why don't we touch a hammer? Because it's what you do with it. It's not where it is, it's what you do with it. It's gufam, right? In and of itself, there's a problem with it. And this is what he's saying, gufam o makom. All right?